How is Amazon doing right now? We've seen a massive rush of orders since last Saturday, and it feels like the Christmas season has just all of a sudden picked up. So I'm feeling pretty good about Q4. My predictions from several months ago about sales being really, really high this year seem to be coming true, not for every category, but for, by and large, most of them. It's been really good. I'm going to talk today about what happened on Prime Day with some information from the Cleveland Research Company and some interesting stats with that. And I'm also going to give you my opinion on how I think Amazon's infrastructure is definitely going to collapse in the next 10 days. My name is Stephen Pope. I'm the founder of My Amazon Guy. So when the Christmas rush started, all the orders pick up. And several times this year, we've seen when orders pick up in a really big rush at the same time, the FBA system is completely taxed. As a couple of examples to this, so I use FBA for my Etsy orders for Momster, my side hustle wine glass brand, and I got an email 2 days ago from a customer who received, get this, a mouse from me. Not a wine glass, but a mouse. It's preposterous and ridiculous, right? And I told that story to one of my friends, and they're like, they sent a live mouse. No, it was a computer mouse, at least. It wasn't a live mouse. That would have made the story way better if they had sent some inappropriate item. It would have been even a better story. But no, it was just a computer mouse. Now, mind you, it was probably a $40 mouse, so the customer made out like a hound dog, and some random person out there just got a social distance. I'm not social distancing. I'm butchering my own top wine glass here. I'm not drinking alone. I'm social distancing. So somebody who ordered a mouse probably got that wine glass, and somebody who ordered the wine glass got the mouse. These are very common issues, and like in my head, I'm thinking about like, okay, what's it like in the FBA facilities right now, right? Like, of course, over the last year, we've seen leaks like, when I say leaks, I literally mean leaks, like leaks about leaks. In fact, I think there was a story back in March where people had to pee in water bottles because they didn't have time to take bathroom breaks. Not making this stuff up, by the way. And anyway, so in my head, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I see these signs. I've got access to 160 Amazon accounts and sellers and clients and whatnot. And I'm also a seller. And so I see this big rush of sales, and then I see all these problems that come from it, right? Like, Amazon's infrastructure is absolutely going to collapse in the next 10 days. And I don't mean like completely collapse, but I mean like implode, right? When Amazon's half the economy and you make them 55% of the economy or even 80% of the economy just for a 2 week span, like the whole thing just, you know, implodes on itself. And I'm making those stats up, but so in my head, I'm thinking like, what does this look like? So I'm an Amazon employee in the warehouse right now. What's going on? Well, in my head, I'm thinking of this giant conveyor belt of boxes, and they're all, and the items are just flying past, and they're just coming in. And then at the end of this conveyor belt, I just envision this pile of boxes, and it's like, you know, it's the classic, like, boxes are just turning over and piling up, and there's some dude at the end of the conveyor belt, and they're like, ah, I just got to get these items out or whatever. I think that's like what it feels like, because this problem has reoccurred several times this year. And when it does, the multi-channel fulfillment orders just go completely bonkers. Like, last time I did a video on this was, I think, back in May, and one dude got a t-shirt from me, another got a jersey, another got like a book. And I hadn't had any of these issues between May and now in November of 2020. So that's how I know their infrastructure is taxed. Like, I'm speaking from personal firsthand experience. And from a prediction standpoint, when I see the sales kick off, like, so usually Black Friday is when Christmas season starts, right? And I was wondering if Prime Day this year would be like the catalyst that did it. I'll be honest, I don't think so, but I do think Saturday, last Saturday, the 14th of November is when I saw everything just really, really pick up. So I was forwarded this article from the Cleveland Research Company, And it reads, our recent consumer study suggests that 51% of Prime members made a purchase during Amazon's Prime Day this year versus 45% a year ago. So that's a 6% increase. That's kind of a big deal. Our research suggests that Amazon was able to add a great deal of members during the shopping holiday period, and its devices sales performed particularly well. However, Amazon wasn't the only winner during Prime Day. This part, I think, is really interesting because you saw all of those Walmart Prime Day sales and Target Prime Day sales and all those physical retailers. Like, they were smart. They jumped on it this year. They're like, hey, don't just do your Prime Day shopping on Amazon. Come over to our shop. We got stuff for you. Goes on to say, our data shows that 50% of those who purchased an item on Amazon during Prime Day also bought something at other retailers, with Walmart and Target the two largest beneficiaries. So this is interesting because I've long been saying, like, Walmart's the company to take Amazon down, and it hasn't happened. I've been waiting and waiting and just trying to figure out, like, when is this going to happen? Maybe next year is the breakout year, but this, the fact that they beat, or I wouldn't say beat, but like they had a win on Prime Day is a big deal, right? Because, like, imagine Walmart next year. Like, if I was Walmart right now, I would be thinking to myself, how can I make up a shopping holiday that beats Prime Day, right? Like, if I was the CEO of Walmart right now, or head of VP of marketing or whatever, that's exactly what I would be doing. I would be coming up with Walmart Day, and I would slash my prices 35% on Walmart Day. It wouldn't even matter, just so that people are literally saying, hey, I'm going for Walmart Day, and make it a national shopping holiday, because that's exactly what Prime Day is. And Prime Day is the only holiday that's been created in the last 15 or so years. The last one that was created before that was Cyber Monday, right? You had Black Friday that was created from people going into retail stores right after Thanksgiving Day and shopping. And I'll be honest, I have no idea what the history is behind Black Friday. No concept, no idea. But Cyber Monday, that was created with the, you know, input of e-commerce just coming online, where people would not only shop on Black Friday, but they would flip over onto websites and go Cyber Monday. And Cyber Monday is actually bigger for e-commerce than Black Friday is. Most people don't realize that. I don't know, like, the full reasoning for why that is, but from my personal two cents, I think it's because Monday is just the best day of the week for Amazon sellers, Sunday and Monday. And so Friday's the weakest. So maybe that has something to do with just people in general. They'd rather leave their houses on Friday, but on Monday they're like, oh crap, I'm out of toilet paper or whatever. Something like that. Not sure. All right. So last part of that, that article that was forwarded my way. While search was the most popular way to find products during Prime Day, a large percentage indicated watching live streaming during the event, likely due to the fact that Amazon Live was featured on the homepage, potentially suggesting consumers' growing use and interest in this form of shopping. So Amazon is hardcore pushing video right now, like majorly pushing video. And if you have an iPhone, you can participate in Amazon Live. I would absolutely jump on that. I personally am a Google guy. I got a Samsung phone. I do not own an iPhone. I do not have experience using Amazon Live. I have a couple of clients who've picked it up and tried it out though, and they are having really good results with it. So check it out if you can. It's really interesting to see how well video ads are doing right now. And if you've been an active listener, you know I've been harping on video ads. So really cool development. I actually hired my dad, Dan Pope, who's now working for me. And we tried to start him a business this summer. I did a really cool podcast on how we tried to start Weatherman on Demand. And his business honestly just failed, right? Like couldn't get it to take off. And the problem is that, you know, how do you sell weather? Right, in a world where I can go to Alexa and say, hey, tell me the weather, why would somebody need to hire a weatherman? So love my father. I really wish his business had taken off. It didn't. You know, sometimes businesses fail. And so my father has now joined my Amazon guy, and he has been editing video all week, video ads for our clients. And we're using promo.com to generate some of those videos. It's been really interesting to see, like, what you can make in a video if you don't actually have the physical product in front of you and you're taking still shots and you're splicing in B-roll, right? So, like, let's say you got, like, a hand sanitizer product, and so you can just show a generic hand rubbing, right, from B-roll, and then you put your still shot of your hand sanitizer over the top, right? Like, you can make video ads like this You can go to Fiverr, you could use promo.com, maybe hire my Amazon guy, whatever. We don't, you know, we're not hiring project-based video operations, but for our own clients, it's part of our full service. It's just a nice value add. As an agency, you constantly have to add value or your clients fire you. Just bottom line, right? Like that is the handshake agreement. Like if we're not growing your sales or we're not making your life easier, got to do one or the either of those or hopefully both, then your end of that relationship occurs. And I have grown the company with that in mind. Like, you know, my general agreements are a single page with a few bullet points and say, hey, here's generally what we're going to do. We're going to grow your sales. And if you want to grow sales, hire us, right? By the end of the time you hang up a call with me, if you think we can grow your sales, you know, hire us. That's kind of been the concept we've been doing. And that is absolutely where I want to keep the agency, because competency-based value additions make for a very good value proposition and high retention rates. So that's generally what we do. I do see a really high volatility of society right now this week. I'm not going to talk politics. I'm not going to talk anything of that nature, but I will say I am sensitive to the uncertainty levels are at an all-time high right now in the country. This will impact you as an Amazon seller, of course, and you need to be paying attention to the news. In general, you should probably benefit from high uncertainty, and you should also benefit from people staying at home, not wanting to deal with COVID or any of those risks. State lockdowns will also benefit you, but will make your life a living hell. Hopefully your warehouse can still function. You know, I see a lot of this right now, and I just have a lot of pent up uncertainty, and I can see a lot of others do too. We actually saw four clients canceled this week, right? Like, and it's weird for me to go out on the air and say that, but like I've been very transparent with like the development of things that have been happening. It's been kind of interesting to see how things develop. So we lost four clients this week. Now you know, most of those were on the smaller side. They're not going to affect my business or anything. And in fact, we signed three large clients this week for a net gain. I was really taken back. I actually did not see four clients canceling in a 48-hour period on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. I just did not see that coming. And I think it happened because of the uncertainty of society right now at the between the COVID and the elections and everything else that's going on. And people are antsy, right? And they're like, oh, you know what? I like what they're doing for me. They add good value. We're happy as a client. But, you know, that money that I'm giving you, I can't give it to you anymore. Like, I think that's kind of what happened. In an agency world, like churn rates, you're trying to hit a certain churn rate and manage that. And I actually expected the next big churn to be in January. That's generally when I think a lot of companies make some big decision changes. But during a middle Q4 change is really not certain. Like it's kind of preposterous. Usually you stay the course through the holiday, and you're kind of married to what you're doing, right? So that caught me off by guard. I did not see that coming. However, I didn't see COVID coming. I mean, I lost 33% of my business back in March and April, right? Now, I've since actually doubled my business since that time period. So very, very high growth. Started usually like first or second week in June, we just saw the phone just like ring right off the hook, left and right, like just signing clients like crazy. It was like multiples per day for a solid month or two. So the business is great. And most agencies saw the same thing. I wasn't like isolated in that standpoint. The amount of people that want to sell on Amazon is at an all-time high. And so you're going to see a lot of difficulties increase. You know, you've seen a couple of videos from me where I talk about how I've seen more problems with catalog issues in the last 60 days than I have seen in the last 3 years combined. I have a client who just sent me an email right before I shot this about somebody inserting banned keywords into his listings, and they're not on our back end. We didn't do it. Although the client, you know, started asking me like, hey, are you changing your passwords? Like they started asking like concern questions like that, rightfully so, by the way. Even though it wasn't us, right? Like, and if they had removed us from the account, the attacks would have still continued. We're seeing Chinese sellers do some really shady stuff right now. Like they are fighting tooth and nail, and it's happening more so in health categories, supplements categories, than we are seeing in anywhere else. It's harder to be a seller in a health category than it ever has been. 2 weeks ago, Amazon banned bullet points that are capitalized in MSDS products, right? So like all of these sophistications, you add into that the uncertainty and the economy and everything else. It's a booming industry. It's never been a better time to be a seller on Amazon, but it's definitely not passive income, as I like to joke about in every other video. It's really structurally hard to like be a firm foundation right now and like keep it together, right? Like, and not just for me, but for like everybody. Like we're all, so the nice thing though is I think we're all in this together against Amazon. And I bite the hand that feeds me all the time. And I really, I hated those TV commercials where they're like, we're in this together. Like, I would be saying what I'm saying regardless of COVID, by the way. But we are in this together against Amazon's ridiculous, untransparent policies and trying to figure out like what Amazon actually wants, just to give them what they want so that we can actually sell on their platform, right? Like that's what I mean by that. Which is why I share all my trade secrets and try and get connected to the community. And I like being a thought leader because not only is it fun, it's engaging. And it's really cool when I get on a call like I did today with a prospective client and he said, hey, man, I've been following your podcast and I got to say, you're really funny. And I was like, what? I'm funny? And he's like, yeah. And it's really fun and entertaining to listen to you. And you actually talk about like the real issues and, you know, you share all your stuff. And I was like, well, man, you made my day. So if that resonated with you, please leave a comment on this video. Tell me about, you know, why you listen. What do you want more of? This video was all over the place, but it was definitely a rant from the heart. I might coin that one. That's a good one to coin. Rant from the heart. And, I just basically just sharing my inner feelings with what's going on. I can imagine some of my employees as they get to see my inner feelings like on a daily basis, whether it's in the Slack channel or on the video podcast, if they're interested. It's kind of fun to see what they want. So I over communicate sometimes, I overshare sometimes, but I am interested in delivering value. And I think I could use a little bit of value back from you if you're an avid listener. Where should I go from here? Like, what should I do now? You could say, keep doing what you're doing. That's cool. But should I pivot a different direction? Should I have content about something else? I'm giving a lot of thought to this. In fact, I spent a solid 12 hours editing a video about how to grow sales on Amazon. And I'm advertising that on YouTube, and spending significant expenditures right now to try and gain new clientele through my video ads. And I don't know if I made the right video edits, and I don't know if I'm resonating to the right crowd, but I'm obviously engaging with a lot of new clients right now. Acquisition's good and all that. And it's kind of the same concept if you're an Amazon seller, right? You're trying to figure out like, how do I resonate to my consumer? Am I selling, am I selling a Russian mail order bride? And do I know my demographics? And it's a 3-time divorced truck driver, right? Like, that's one of my favorite metaphors, of course. And I used it in a podcast a couple weeks ago. So forgive me if you've already heard that one. But I am trying to figure out like where my strike zone is with my own clientele so I can help them and speak to them. So everything I've done has just been me being me, which is easy to do, right? Like, it's easy to get on camera and just speak from the heart, add value, say what's on my mind. I will keep doing that. But if you guys do have any advice or tips or recommendations, like, hey, I want to hear more about this, I'm curious about that, I very much am interested. I feel like my engagements on my videos or my comment section is actually quite weak. I look at some of the other videos that people who visit my channel and visit others, and their channel videos get way more comments. I was kind of surprised by that. So something I'm not doing that they're doing, trying to wrap my head around it. So I actually reached out to a lot of those other thought leaders in the space, and I asked them to come onto my podcast to talk to them about what they do and their Amazon journeys and stories. I am interested in getting some new blood and new engagement. If you would be interested to come on my podcast and talk about your Amazon journey, I am particularly interested in Amazon sellers who have something to share about mistakes they've made or things that they've learned along the ways. You don't have to be a $1 million seller, but if you've been doing it for 6 or 12 months at minimum, I'd be interested to hear from you. You can send me an email to podcast@myamazonguy.com. would be happy to bring you in on the pod and talk to you and ask you questions about what you can do to add value to the community. Very interested in that. So it's very unusual for me to spend 4 or 5 minutes asking for your help. I don't think I've ever done that before, and I don't know how many people are going to respond to this, but if you can help me out and leave a comment on this video with any of your advice or opinions, and maybe share this with a couple other Amazon sellers and let them weigh in, that would be fantastic. Looking for some support and direction so I can help continue adding value. My name is Stephen Pope, and I am the founder of My Amazon Guy.